As I said, though, today we are celebrating the Feast of St. Rita. We don't have her Mass as a proper Mass here in the United States, but in different dioceses, they do say the Mass in honor of St. Rita. But she's a wonderful saint for our time. She is a saint for impossible cases, along with St. Jude Thaddeus, and of many other things, loneliness, and of course of those in unhappy marriages. She's a wonderful patroness for that. Her story is this, though. She was born in a small town in Italy, and when she was about 12 years old, she had desired to consecrate her chastity to Almighty God. But then her parents, who both were very pious, actually, insisted that she should get married. And only out of the virtue of obedience did she go along with it. And in those days, marriages were usually arranged. So the parents would pick out the spouse for their child. And that was the case here. And so it was also the custom in those days, the girls would marry quite young. She was 12 years old when she married. And their marriage lasted for 18 years until her husband had died. But it was a very severe trial for St. Rita, because in those days there was what was called la vendetta, and of course you get an idea of what that means. It's a vendetta, a game of revenge. Something like the Hatfield and McCoys, I guess, in Kentucky and Tennessee. They had those sort of family rivalries in Italy. Her family was one of them that was involved, and there was yet another one. And so they would actually kill each other and harm each other in other ways. And that was just the way it was for many, many years. So her husband, Rita's husband, was a very violent man. He was quick to anger, often treated her very unjustly, would give her money, and then would gamble it away or lose it on something else and come back and call her the spendthrift. There's all sorts of harm and suffering that he caused her. There was also, they say, physical abuse. And yet for 18 years, she was the most patient wife, always desiring but one thing, his conversion. And so she never said anything. She never retaliated. She never lost her patience. Imagine that. If your husband had struck you, what would you have done? Would you have been faithful still to those marriage vows? Most would probably want at least a separation, but not St. Rita. She held to it. She persevered. She had great fortitude, simply offered everything up and prayed quietly for the husband's conversion, and eventually did win that conversion before he was killed by a member of the other family in a sort of a duel. Well, then the trials weren't over. At the funeral, St. Rita pardoned publicly the murderer of her husband, but then still everything continued, and now her two sons wanted to get vengeance on the man who murdered their father. And she prayed and prayed. She pleaded with them, don't do this, and I would rather see you dead than commit a mortal sin. And they wouldn't have anything of it. They wanted to kill the murderer of their father. So she prayed. She did what we all do in those impossible cases. You must turn to God. What we can't do, God always can do. Always remember that. So she prayed. She prayed that they would be spared of committing a mortal sin. After a year, you know what had happened? After a year, the two boys had both become sick and they died in the state of grace. After they had made a good confession of their sins and they had never gone through with their plan of murder. And that was a wonderful answer to her prayers in a sort of very mysterious way that you have to look at so supernaturally, that a mother would pray for the death of her son. Well, it's so that they don't die spiritually. What a beautiful thought there too. Well, next she wanted to go to the convent, but this particular convent, first of all, had never had a widow enter their ranks. And second of all, they thought it was too scandalous to have her, the wife of someone that had been involved in all of this murder and fights, be part of the community there. So the sisters told her, okay, if you can do this, then we might accept you. If you can settle down this qualm, this fight between your family and this other one, then we might accept you. So she prayed and she worked hard at it. And then there was a big plague. Some of the members of the other family had become sick, and she had then convinced them to end their battles. But I guess that wasn't enough, because she was still praying, still being refused. And so she prayed for entrance into the convent. And one night, three saints came to her door. St. Augustine, St. John the Baptist, and St. Nicholas of Tolentino. And they picked her up, and they put her right in the middle of the cloister of the convent. And it was late at night. The doors were all locked. And so they got her in there miraculously, so that when all the sisters woke up in the morning and saw her there, they realized, well, we've got to take her now, because all of heaven put her there. So they took her, and she led a very penitential life. You all know the story of how she was praying before the crucifix and perhaps was praying for suffering. And one of the thorns from our Lord's crown flew off of the crucifix and implanted itself right in her forehead. And they say that it caused such an awful stench that none of the sisters could bear to be around her. And so she was actually not only cloistered away from the world, but cloistered away from the other sisters now too, which is why she is the patron for loneliness. She was sort of in a lockdown of her own, I guess you could say. She's had to be by herself all the time. But when they were planning to go to Rome on a pilgrimage, our Lord cured the wound. It dried up, and she was able to go, and the stench no longer bothered the sisters. And as soon as the pilgrimage was over and they came back to the convent, the wound appeared once more, and there she was back in isolation. When she died, finally, the wound was still visible. But when, after her soul had departed her body, the wound turned all glorious and brilliant and beautiful, something that was admirable to look at. That reminds you of the ascension, doesn't it? Our Lord had his wounds that must have looked horrendous in the passion. But when he was ascending to heaven, they glowed radiantly, brilliantly. That, I think, is a good thing to remember. Our wounds and our pains and our hurts, they all look so terrible to us in this life. But remember, every ounce of your suffering that you offer up to God and that you give to him, and try to be patient and endure it all patiently, all of that, at the moment of your death, God turns it into something beautiful. He turns it into a gem to be used in your heavenly crown. Don't ever forget that. Right now your wounds are hard to bear, but on the day of your death, you will see just how it was all so very worth the pain and the trouble. St. Rita of Cascia, Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.